This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer.
Hey, the Rangers won a game. They win again. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. That's next on ESPN New York Tonight. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number to join our Tuesday conversation here on 98.7 ESPN. Along with Jake the Snake and Brian Munger, we're here until midnight. Yeah, then there's Freddie Fitzsimmons on 98.7 ESPN. Of course, you can join us via Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY 98_7FM, and of course, at Gordon Damer. And speaking of Gordon Damer, hello!
Larry, how are we feeling, my man?
I'm doing pretty good, my friend. Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm not doing as well. I guess I'm doing better than Met fans who have been a little salty today in regards to one Francisco Lindor.
Why you want to go there?
I thought it was one of the topics on the show. I figured that was one of the things
It didn't have to be the number one topic on the show.
Look, I mean, when you have the big contract sitting out there, the time is ticking away. We don't have a nickname to break down. Yankees didn't get anybody else hurt today, so we got to go somewhere.
Gordon, I'm still upset from last night. You know how I feel about this.
Well, look.
You know how I am.
You have company. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. And listen, I'm all for Steve Cohen interacting with the fans on Twitter. I like that. I think there's it makes the fans feel like they're part of the team, you know? But can you, limit that and go talk to this agent and get this deal done? Can you find a way to get that done instead of what is he trying to do? Hey, listen, what do you think? Like they have a say. It's like Omar last night called and said, all right, you guys who wanted the Knicks not to trade anybody, you got your wish. Okay, fine. Like we make a difference. Okay, so are you telling me now that fans who want Lindor, okay, if they say to Steve Cohen, yeah, we want to sign him, give him $400 million, Pete Alonso wants him to get. So, yeah, give him $400 million. And Cohen's going to say, okay, yeah, fine, sure, no problem.
You know, when Turk Wendell came up with the Cubs, he used to do all these wacky things, jumping over the foul line. He used to brush his teeth in between innings and eat licorice and do all these different things. And Harry Carey at the time said it absolutely right. He said, you know what? When you do that and you're pitching well, it's sensational.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do all those things and it doesn't go so well, you look like a jerk. So for Steve Cohen, who kind of has to know the deal, all this interaction with the fans is all well and good when things are going well. But if they don't sign Lindor, now look, maybe some of the fans will take the team side on this. I don't know, but it's not going to play well for him with all this interaction with Twitter is a poison place to begin with.
Yeah, it is.
and it could be going just fine that day, and people will find you and want to bring and ruin your day. So I don't know what he expects. I get that maybe he's just, I don't know. I would think that being naive is past him at this point with all that he's seen and done and accomplished in his life. But all this little fun interaction with fans, let's crowdsource the contract, this thing. If they ever got off to a bad start or things don't go well, people, being the non-Wilpons will only last for so long.
Yeah, you're right. Especially because you've come in as he's been billed as the anti-Wilpon, right? He's mm-hmm. been billed as a guy who has money, who's going to spend money. Now, yes, as he has made it clear, he's not coming in to spend money like a drunken sailor. That's a quote that may come back to haunt him, but it's a quote. We get what he means. He's not just going to throw money away. Okay, fine. Because listen, Gordon, we know we could sit here and give you example after example after example of teams who tried to buy championships and it didn't work. So I get that part of it. But in this scenario, when you're looking at a player that you obtained, knowing that he needed to be signed, and understanding that he wants to have this deal done before the start of the season, okay, you know going in what you have to do. So for me, and it was real interesting listening to Buster Olney on the Michael Kay Show today, 2 to 6:30 now. Remember that, 2 to 6:30. You tune in at 3, you've missed an hour. 2 to 6:30, Monday through Friday here on 98.7 ESPN. And he was talking about, Gordon, how other agents that he spoke with said that This is a bad thing, Lindor, just turning this money down like that. Gordon, I'm listening to this, and I love Buster, and they told him, I know that's what they told him, but Gordon, name me one agent who's going to say, that's the best offer you're going to get with a player of this caliber. Nah, let's see. Nah, that's it. We're not going to ask him for any more. Come on, Gordon. They're going to ask for more. That's their job.
Right, of course. And look, this could go bad. I mean, for Lindor, it could turn out bad, right? If he comes here and has a bad year this year, or the year that he had last year, which was a down year for him, if somehow he were to get off to a bad start this year, I'm sure fans will be all over him. What fans are in the stands because of turning down the money. People will see him as being greedy and this and that. So it could go wrong for him. But he's been thinking about his next contract a whole lot longer than anybody else.
That's right. That's right. No question. And he knew how he wanted to handle it. And his team have got together, and this is their strategy. Speaking of Buster Olney, I mentioned he was on the Michael Kay Show, and here's their discussion on Steve Cohen discussing the contract with Francisco Lindor on Twitter.
Surprise, and there's no question that the agents feel like that he's trying to put pressure on the player. He's trying to put pressure on the agent, and maybe that's Steve with his finger in the air reading the tea leaves that people around the sport are like, Lindor's got to finish this. Lindor's got to get this done. And, you know, one of the factors, of course, being the fact that in the fall, as they say, right now he's the one Lamborghini on the lot that Steve Cohen's looking at. In the fall, Corey Seager, a free agent, Trevor Story, who's an outstanding player, is going to be a free agent. Javier Baez, Carlos Correa, even though there's just been a report in the last couple hours that the Astros are re-engaged with Correa. And so I think that is definitely the read in the industry that he's trying to put pressure on Francisco through social media.
Now, what was real interesting to me, Gordon, was a discussion that Kay and Buster had. And Michael maintains that he believes that the deal is practically done, that this is kind of theatrics a little bit, that you wouldn't do this situation. He feels it's done. Olney said and gave an example of a situation where it was similar to this and they had already come to terms with the deal. I think it was Clemens off the top of my head, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But Buster said from the folks that he spoke to, there is a difference. So now the question is going to be, Gordon, is the will the Mets come up enough to Lindor coming down? In other words, is there a happy medium that both sides can meet to make this happen?
Well, look, I mean, if the Mets said that their last offer, and they didn't say it, but it's been reported over and over again that their last offer was the best and final or the last and final or whatever it was the final offer, 10 years, 325. If they come off of that in any way, it kind of seems like they gave in. Now, maybe there's some way that they can finagle it and everybody puts on a happy face and Lindor comes there with his million-dollar smile and everybody's happy. But look, people can say what they want. This offseason, you know, Steve Cohen might be the Mr. Wall Street. So far this offseason, handling the Mets, he looks like one of the guys who was selling the penny stocks in Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, they got to the doorstep with Springer, didn't sign him. He has mentioned out loud, publicly, that he wanted to sign Bauer. They lost out on him. You know, their offseason, when he came on board and you looked at the free agents that were available, you thought, oh, my goodness, think of all the guys they're going to sign. I mean, they got Trevor May. They got the catcher on a four-year deal and no one else was going to give him a four-year deal. And here was the one big move you made with the knowledge, again, that he needed a contract. That's why you were able to get him. And to think that you could get to opening day and not have a contract – Steve Cohen knows more than about money than us backwards, forwards. He's forgotten more on a random Tuesday than we'll ever know. But in terms of handling a baseball team's offseason, boy, it has not gone well.
It has not. And I'm wondering if there's a particular reason for this. And I'll share that with you next. 1-800-919-3776. Just getting started on this Tuesday edition of ESPN New York Tonight. Of course, we will have another edition. Survive in advance. Who will make it? We're looking at the 70s bracket of the ESPN New York Tonight TV theme throwdown. And Gordon, I saw your tweet. I am devastated.
Yeah, look,
about last night.
We had the closest result of the tournament so far, and I would say the biggest disgrace of the tournament so far. So we'll unveil those as well a little bit later.
And I have to share with you one person's reaction, which I was stunned. And I'll share that with you next. All that next on 98.7 ESPN. Following the Rangers, who started slowly but came back, Gordon, they got a nice win at the Garden. And, you know, they need some revenge against the Caps.
Well, anytime you can score four goals in the third period, I would think that you have a pretty good chance. Usually they do that in the second period against the Flyers,
right. You
know? So anytime you can do it in the third of a close game, I'd have to think that your odds of winning go skyrocketing.
Yeah, and it did tonight. And they were in action again on Thursday.
Are they done? Are they out of the playoff mix?
No,
they're still alive?
No, they're still alive. They're clinging.
Yeah.
They're clinging to that last spot. They're trying to get to that last spot, Gordon. So they've got a shot. They still got a shot. But they got to win some games. And, you know, listen, what they did tonight is a huge step in the right direction for them. Gordon, for me, I just think, and I'm not absolving Steve Cohen of anything because he's the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Buck stops with him, no pun intended. But I just can't help but going back to his initial press conference, talking about he will rely on his baseball people. And, Gordon, I don't have to tell you, Sandy Alderson is not exactly a big spend money guy. I mean, he thrived in the Moneyball days in Oakland. And so I just wonder if his influence has something to say about some of these moves that have been made by this Met team because of the fact that, you know, once again, he's a guy that likes to be a little conservative. He's used to winning with teams that don't have a lot of money. And look at, you know, I mean, he was able to do some nifty trading with the Mets to get them to the 2015 World Series. But for the most part, Gordon, along with the Wilpons, he didn't spend any money. And I just wonder if part of his philosophy is rubbing off here.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought that in the past, we kind of chalked that up to the Wilpons, right? Like, that's the people that got the blame for that. Like, that Sandy would like to spend some money, but based on the budget that the Wilpons gave him, it was like if he wanted to add a reliever, he was going to have to get rid of a middle infield. It was like everything was on a shoestring budget. And I thought this offseason, they have the ability to do it, right? Like, mm-hmm. If you told me they didn't have the ability to do it, they didn't come in second trying to sign George Springer. They didn't come in second in the Bauer negotiations. They didn't come in second with Brad Hand or everybody else that they've talked to this offseason. I would say, okay. And I'm kind of giving them a pass on each of those moves, right? Like, okay, I would feel a little weird about giving $100 million to a guy with an ERA right around four.
Mm-hmm.
Springer, as he ages, right, he's not going to be a center. I can excuse all of those moves away.
Mm-hmm.
The one I can't excuse away is this one, because this one is on your team.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's only going to end up hurting you in the short term, not getting him signed. And you're haggling over a couple of years. A decade from now, I don't understand. Like, you're okay with giving him 10 years, but 12, you just can't do. I don't know. To me, it seems like you're cutting off your nose to spite your face, because if it does turn out that he gets off to a slow start, or even if he gets off to, like, a mediocre start, how many guys have come to New York and have gotten off to kind of mediocre starts? The fans, the ones that are in attendance, they're going to get on him, and I don't see that being a positive. Now, it might not impact him in any way. Maybe he'll just get over it and everything will be fine, but I don't see any benefit to it.
No, it. I'm just trying to figure out why they would do that, understanding that, okay, we know we have to sign him. We know we want to get this done. We want him. If we didn't want him, we wouldn't have traded for him. And why they waited till the last minute to get this to even put, as we discussed last night, Gordon, why would you wait till the last minute to put this offer when you knew there was, even if you thought he was going to take it, there was a possibility in the back of your mind, well, what happens if he doesn't do it? What happens if he says no? Well, we got to come up with another discussion. Well, you know, guess what? You got 2 days, okay?
Yeah.
So let's see what you can do now in 2 days, because that's what you got.
It just seems like the missteps of somebody who has not been down this road before but thinks they know all the things that are going on. And look, as I said, Steve Cohen knows more about money than I'll ever know. He's forgotten more on a random Wednesday than I'll ever know. But, you know, coming close on this guy, publicly saying, oh, you know, we really wanted to sign Bauer, but we couldn't make it happen. And now, you know, floating out here that the Mets' best and final offer is 10 years, $325. Oh, we'll put a little pressure on his camp. It doesn't seem there's any pressure on Francisco Lindor's camp.
No, the pressure's been on the Mets.
Yeah.
The pressure's been on the Mets, Gordon, since he said, I want this done by opening day. Otherwise, I'm not doing it during the season. So the pressure's been on the Mets since then. Now, you know, there could be a scenario where they have a, you know, all-night discussions, you know, like the strikes where we used to say, listen, bring the pizza in and tell people they're not leaving. I mean, it could be a scenario like that. And then who knows, maybe early, right before game time on the April 1st, you know, we'll say that he got signed. Hey, that's great. That would be fabulous. You know, if you're a Mets fan, that's what you're hoping for at the last minute. But look, just the stress of, well, what are they going to do? Okay, well, you know, well, I guess we just have to wait and see. Could have been avoided.
Well, look, we'll have an answer pretty soon, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the nice thing. We will have an answer pretty soon.
1-800-919-3776. Spike is in Jersey somewhere. He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Spike.
Feel like where's Waldo when you pick up the call? Really lost. Listen, guys, good evening, first of all. And one baseball, one college, and one Knicks comment. This guy, Steve Cohen, if you read the book, he overpays for everything. And if I had that much money, you know, I'd be Ralph Kramden. You know, you'll give Lindor the money. Lindor's a top 10 player, and he plays a meaningful position, and he's good for the organization. I think the only problem with the Mets, I'm a Yankee fan, is that the defense is vulnerable. That's what everyone's saying. And
right.
I feel bad for Luke Voit. I feel really bad for Luke Voit. I'm sure you guys do, too.
Absolutely. And Gordon's the
yes.
Yankee fan, but I feel bad about Luke Voit because he performed so well, he just can't stay healthy the past season and now this season.
It does make me wonder if they kind of knew that that was there and that the fact that, what's his name, Jay Bruce had such a strong spring that they felt like, you know, we don't want to lose Bruce. We know that eventually at some point Voit might have to have this anyway. Let's get it out of the way now and deal with it in the now rather than, you know, cutting Bruce or not, you know, not having him. And then this is going to be an issue at some point during the season anyway.
Yeah, he'll poke a few into the short porch for sure. One college and one NBA, and I'm done. I don't watch college like I watch the NBA. I watch the Nets, but Gonzaga's a machine. They're going to be really tough to beat. The only way they lose is if the opposing team, you know, shoots 50% from three, and they play pretty good defense, and they got a couple of really, really good players. They rebound. And I want to get to the Knicks game because I couldn't get on last night. Here's what bothered me. I talked to my other Beaver friend, CCNY, this morning for about an hour about the Knicks game last night. And he says that was a game I really wanted to win. I was looking forward to, and you said they don't have a chance going into the game. I said, when you got Bam and Dragic, who's, you know, a little long in the tooth, and you got Jimmy Butler, who doesn't miss from the free throw, and the only thing he can't do is shoot long range, and Miami plays great defense but loose with the ball, the Knicks have no margin of error. I've heard you say that numerous times, Gordon. None.
Yeah.
And they have to play a perfect game. And Barrett regressed. Barrett, listen, I love the 20 years old, his tenacity, his work ethic and all. But you see it too, Larry. I know you too well. His shot's broken. Yeah, that's a broken shot. And why did Burks only get 7 shots last night?
I know. We talked about it. He seemed like he was more in playmaking mode. He was not in shooting mode. He wasn't really aggressive shooting the basketball.
Yeah, and I'll leave you with this, boys. Always good to talk to you, catch up. Here's the thing, too. This is something I've never seen. Elfrid Payton has the innate knack to get to the rim. And he finishes 50% of the time where he should finish 85% of the time. And he can't shoot. He can't shoot a lick. But he's big. He plays defense. But, again, the Knicks were back to they needed. They're going to make the playoffs. I've analyzed the whole thing because they're not going to have long losing streaks with the defense. And Orlando unloaded. And I'm still worried about Indiana, but they lost the other guy. I think they'll get in. And it's been more fun watching the Knicks this year. You say it best, Larry. You've had too many years with that first digit's a 1. So
yeah.
I'll leave you with that and listen to the program. And thanks a lot for getting me on, guys, early.
No problem, Spike. Thanks for checking in.
The only thing I would disagree with Spike is that R.J. Barrett's shot is broken. I mean, he's progressed in every single way. But, you know, as a 20-year-old playing his second season, progress is not a straight line that constantly just goes up. I mean, there's going to be nights like that, right? And it seems like Miami kind of has his number anyway. So that's something he's got to overcome and get better at. But I like the progress that R.J. Barrett has made this year, and I'm hoping for, you know, more of the same.
See, what he's got to, and I agree with you, Gordon, and I think Spike is real critical on his jump shot, and I understand it's real inconsistent, but here's the adjustment he's got to make. Because here's what happens now. Because he is so strong going to the basket, mm-hmm. when you play zone and you try to keep him out of the lane, now you're forcing him to mm-hmm. shoot.
Yeah.
And his muscle memory on the jump shot is not mm-hmm. consistent enough yet.
Right.
And so sometimes it'll go, sometimes it looks awful. So the muscle memory is not there. He's just got to do some more work. And listen, like you said, at 20 years of age, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
It can get better. It could be. It may not be great. It's not. You know. Hey, it's better than Lonzo Ball.
Right. And look, it's gotten better than from this point last year.
Yes.
And I'm not saying he doesn't still have a lot of work to do. I'm sure he would tell you he still has a lot of work to do. And that area mm-hmm. is probably the area, even with the improvements, that he still has to make the biggest strides in because it's the most important. But I just like where his game is at. And I'll tell you right now, as a second year player at the age of 20. If you give me 15 games in a row where you're double digits every single game and then you have a stinker on the 16th, I'll take that every time.
Especially against the defense that
right.
like the Miami
exactly.
Heat.
Yep.
Especially against what they can do. Hey, Gordon, and we'll talk about this a little bit next hour. What was your first – two things. Your first reaction to a 17-game NFL season and your reaction – when you found out game 17, you were hosting the New York Football Giants.
Well, you know, there had been some talk about that the Giants would be the team, so I wasn't all that surprised by that. Look, I mean, how long have we been talking about a 17-game regular season? Right?
Forever.
I mean, it seems like forever, and I'm expecting sometime next week for someone on one of these shows to float the idea of an 18-game season. I mean, it will start almost immediately, right? We love
yep.
football. We want as much of it as we can possibly handle. And now that, you know, they have their labor deal in place, they have the TV deal in place, they have all the money in the world. So, yeah, I mean, it just seemed like a matter of time before they were going to go to 17 games. So the fact that it's coming here is not really that much of a shock, right?
Especially if it means less preseason games.
Yeah, well, after having, you know, no preseason games, and there's always been the talk of cutting it down, you know, eliminating that last one. So, yeah, I mean, like, if you can get rid of the I don't know if they'll get rid of the preseason games altogether. It seems like, at least listening to or reading some of the comments of Roger Goodell, that they are planning next year to be business as usual, even though, you know, who knows what the world is going to look like next
really?
Year. Just
really?
Plow ahead anyway. So we'll see, but, you know, in terms of international games, in terms of, you know, some of the other things they brought up that, they expect to have fully fans in the stands by the time next year rolls around. So, we'll see what the plan is on the preseason. I would guess that they'll bring it back in some form, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so. Speaking of fans in the stands, it's interesting. I saw that, Yankees, held a press conference today and they're expecting a little over 10,000. In the stadium for opening day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know what was interesting to me was that, you know, Texas, the Rangers, they were planning on having no restrictions in place for their opener.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe as of recently, they still have only sold about 12,000 tickets.
Wow.
So that tells me that, you know what, it actually gives me a little bit of faith in humanity
yeah.
that you can
yeah.
actually trust people to do the right thing and you don't need someone forcing them to do the right thing. So
that's
I don't
right.
know if that's still the case now. Maybe those numbers are old. Maybe as it gears up till opening day, it will be a full ballpark. But at least the last numbers I saw, it looked like that they had, even though they have the ability and the tickets to sell to 50,000 or whatever that building holds, that it seems like that they are not going to be anywhere near that.
Yeah, that is interesting and encouraging. By the way, we have an upset going on, Gordon. The number one seed, Michigan, is trailing UCLA by 4 at the half. So
yeah,
you never know.
Not a very good, sharply played game. And I mean,
no.
especially after watching
no.
Gonzaga, who's like in another league.
Well, they are in another league. They just happen to be playing. Yeah, and Spike mentioned it. Here's the only way you could hope to beat them is if they have an off-night shooting and turning the basketball over, which they never seem to do. Like, they don't beat themselves, Gordon. That's the tough thing. You have to play a perfect game against them and hope that they are not as good as they normally are for you to have a chance at beating them. They are just – and Gordon, they're always this good. It's like every year you're just like, is this the year? Is this the year? Is this the year? They're always in it, and then something just derails them, but they finally get to the Final Four action.
Yeah, well, look, I'd have to say, if they are able to pull this off, to finish a season perfect, to win every game but one by double digits, you'd have to consider them one of the greatest teams of all time. I mean, like, it's been, what, 76? This is the last time?
Yeah,
was that the Bobby Knight team?
Yep.
I mean, think about how long 1976 was ago. So that tells you how hard it is to do. And you'd have to say, even though there's more guys going directly to the NBA now than back then, the talent pool that's available is now wider than ever before. So you would think that the competition level, the parity within college basketball would be greater. The tournament's bigger. You got to win more games there. You'd have to say that at least in terms of like building a resume for the greatest college basketball team of all time, if they are able to pull off a perfect season and win all these games by pretty much every single game by a blowout, that they are in the conversation.
Especially under this scenario, right? Especially with COVID and all the things that have gone on here, that even adds to the fact that of what they were able to do with so many teams having all the various issues and things. So, no, there's no question about it. Being undefeated puts you right there, and undefeated with an asterisk of a COVID-19 pandemic puts you over the top. It does. Really does.
Yeah, 44 years. I mean, that's a hot minute, right?
It is. It is. Man, bicentennial. Everybody's like, it's the bicentennial of the country. That's 44 years ago.
Right.
Wow, Bobby Knight, the plaid jacket. Oh, my God. Booty's in the Bronx. Hey, Booty, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, my guys? How y'all doing?
Buddha.
Hey, Buddha. What's going on, man?
All right. A little basketball, a little brackets. Now, first with the basketball, I was listening to Papa Lodge. You know, I'm glad he made that move to Florida. I hope him and his family as well up down there. But, I've been a critic of R.J. Barrett, too. But to be honest with you, you know, Scottie Pippen wasn't a good shooter. And if I was in R.J. Barrett's ear, I would tell him to really work on his handle and go into the right. And I know sometimes athleticism is something you're born with, but I would really work with his lift. I mean, the jump shot is going to be here and there. That's just the kind of player that he is. But if he can learn to attack the basket from both sides with both hands and, you know, and attack it more vertically. I mean, I feel sometimes like he's 6'7" or 6'8" and doing a lot of layups off the backboard. Attack that rim, brother, and, you know, that might help out his game a little bit. Now, with Michigan, I know they're down right now, but I fully expect them to come back and win this game. I like Michigan. I'm rooting for them a lot. I love the way that they move the ball from the foul line down, you know, between the bigs and between the guards and the bigs. The point guard is minuscule, and the outside shooting is, you know, so-so. But, you know, I'm really hoping that they could, you know, they can get to that final game. I'm rooting for them all, and I love you all. But now with the brackets, you know, Gordon, last night you were talking about, was it me that was talking about the cartoon bracket?
Yes.
It most definitely was. And I really, really would like the chance to, like, put a submission in there myself. I mean, that original Spider-Man and then Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy. I mean,
look, Hong Kong Fooey was considered for this one. I love Hong Kong Fooey. I just thought that, you know, the bracket that it was trying to break into, I think it was a little too dated to get any real traction. But, look, I love Hong Kong Fooey.
It has to be in a cartoon.
Yeah.
That's why it has to be a cartoon one, you know what I mean? Because I knew it wasn't going to be able to, you know, to cross over, especially generational, you know, with that travesty of a Y5-0.
Oh, don't even remind me. I mean, people are out. It's disgusting. It's disgusting what goes on Twitter.
That shows the date of the age a lot of times to the people that are responding. I mean, there's no way you could have listened to both of those tracks.
Buddha? Oh, we lost him. All right, Buddha, thanks for checking in. Gordon, I had somebody on Twitter say, I'm paraphrasing. They were going to vote for it, but they said it wasn't the 60s and 70s Hawaii 5-0. It was the new one.
What? It's the same theme song. It's the same. I mean, maybe there's a little different interpretation of it. It's the same. Right. It still kicks. Come on.
That's
instantly recognizable. I don't care if it was the 1930s. It doesn't matter.
I know. I'm just sharing with you what they said.
And if it was going up against one of the all-time, you know, another all-time great, I would say, okay, fine, you know, different strokes for different folks, but mm-hmm. it was going up against The Office.
I know.
The Office is not a great theme song. It's almost like they forgot to do something. They said, ah, bang out something on the piano. Yeah, we'll just work it with that. I mean, come on. That sounds like something a kid learns when they're playing piano, right? And they finally get good at it. And oh, man. That is
all right, I've heard enough. Stop it. I've heard enough. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Oh, that's unbelievable. Bruce is in Flushing. Hey, Bruce, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Rangers, Mets, and Jets. First on Rangers. Larry, another game after two losses, and the team doesn't come out and play for the first 10 minutes. That is on the coach.
Yeah, I understand. I know what you're saying, and I'd have to agree with you. I have to agree with you. But whatever adjustments they made after the first, at the last 10 minutes of that first period changed the game around.
But after coming off a week and we lost two games, one was a close one, okay, fine, but one way Washington wiped you out and you came back after four goals. And this, not the, this is about the fifth or sixth time this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
It just, if you're JD, and we know we can't blame everything on the coach, and it's a young team, but it's got to bother you, as you said so in the past. But I like the way this Ranger team is building. Iggy, if healthy, is your number one goaltender for the next 5 to 7 to 10 years. What you see on the defense, they're building out. You got Fox and his partner is one pair. You got, my brain's cramping out. But mm-hmm. the defense is building out. And then they have this kid in Sweden called Nils Lindqvist, who has 14 goals this year, leading the Swedish league for defensemen. This guy is a legitimate offensive defenseman, and this guy's probably going to quarterback the power play, even though you have guys doing it now. But this kid is going to be unbelievable.
Okay.
So they're doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what?
No, go ahead.
Number two, what's your reaction to Peter Alonso saying, pay Lindor $400 million?
He's backing his teammate. I'm not surprised.
Okay. Does that have any influence on Steve Cohen?
No.
No. None.
Okay. And finally, I'm not a quarterback guru. I'm not, you know, Mel Kiper and the like. But Josh Fields had a great workout.
Justin Fields?
Today. Justin Fields.
Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And in addition, you saw what he did. The game before a championship game, I don't know if that was a Rose Bowl because they mixed up the bowls nowadays, he had a great game. And the championship game, he played hurt with either broken ribs or bruised ribs, had a pretty good game. If you're the Jets, before you take the kid to Brigham Young, you may have to think again on Fields because Fields has had the toughest schedule and has done it in the clutch.
I hear what you're saying, Bruce. Thanks for the phone call. And you know what, Gordon?
Justin Fields, I mean, he had the great – he's another one. It's unbelievable. This pro day, that pro day, oh, my God, he's unbelievable at the pro day.
He is. They all are, Gordon. They all are.
The problem with Fields, though, is that the main – and look, I haven't seen that much. I've seen more of him than I've seen of Wilson, but – The main criticism of Fields has been
hold your thought right there. Hold your thought right there. We'll come back. We'll do the bracket and we'll get your thoughts next on 98.7 ESPN. Now, before we get to the brackets, Gordon, I want you to finish your thoughts about what Mike Westhoff used to call the underwear Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has these amazing pro days. They're incredible. Oh, my God. And look, I think it might have been Buddha who brought this point up as well. You're like, when is Justin Fields going to have his hot moment? And I said at the time, whenever he has his pro day, because of his just physical gifts, right? He can run, he can throw, he can make all the throws. He's got a strong arm. But that's not really the what he showed this today, what he displayed today is not really the question about him. The question about him is processing things in game speed. So when there's no defense, right, there's no defender breathing down your neck or your first read is taken away and you have to, you know, read your progressions and make the throw then, That's the question about him. Now, I don't know. He might still be a great quarterback. I think it kind of depends on the spot where he goes. And I'll tell you, if the Niners take him at 3, I'll feel a whole lot better about his prospects than going to maybe Carolina at 8. Yeah. But what he did today is no surprise, and it shouldn't have been any surprise to anybody. So all the rave reviews about him, you know, throwing to this guy and that guy, running around in some shorts and a T-shirt is not really a big deal.
It meant more to me watching him beat Clemson than what I saw today.
Right, of course. Of course. I mean, of course.
So yeah, what he did today, okay, great. Nice. Great.
And I do think he's been unfairly penalized for playing in the national title game with an injury, but, you know, you have to go out there and make your, you know, do the best you can, and he was not able to overcome it. And maybe even if he's healthy, he might not have been able, you know, Alabama was a great team.
Yeah.
But, you know, what he displayed today, really, anybody could have done. Him doing that is not really that much of a surprise. He could do that any day.
No, that's what sets him apart, kind of. You know, because that's what people have said about him. Oh, his athleticism is off the charts. That's what they really love about him.
Right, of course.
But once again, and what did they, when people compare the two, when they compare him and, you know, Wilson, what do they say? Well, they're both really athletic. They're both really talented. But Wilson seems to break down and process the information that he sees on the field a little bit faster than Fields. Okay, so what that means is that, you know, maybe – I don't know, maybe Wilson had more help on the sidelines because everybody was looking that way before the ball snap.
Right, and well, you know, the questions about Wilson, why his pro day is not all that important was because the questions about him is what his level of competition and the fact he did it only for 1 year. So
yes.
That, I mean, the pro day for him did nothing. Now, it's great to see these guys make these throws and they look incredible doing it, but I don't really know how much that really tells you in the greater scheme. If you're making draft picks based on on pro days... I don't know what to tell you.
You're going to be out of work soon. That's what I'll tell you.
Right, yeah. The old line of Jerry Glanville, not for long. That's what the NFL stands for, not for long. Yeah, it's not for long for you if you're doing that.
That is for sure. All right, my friend, let's talk brackets.
All right, let's go back to last night. Of course, we went to the second round, Larry, of the 2000s and beyond.
Oh.
A bracket that, you know, kind of broke down exactly as we expected. It was the top 4 seeds still alive, and the only real major upset in the group was Curb Your Enthusiasm just beating like a drum Rawhide, which I probably put way too high, but of course Bruce has influenced me. I'm hearing all these voices, and I should have just stuck to my own judgments. But yesterday, we had our closest contest of the second round, closest contest of the entire tournament so far, and that was Mission Impossible, the number 2 seed, beating Gilligan's Island by my math by 6 votes. Six
what?
Votes, yeah, 50.9
wow.
to 49.1.
Wow.
So Mission Impossible does survive in advance, so we'll see what that bodes for the semifinals, the regional semifinals next time out. Sopranos, another strong performance. They cruise through Curb Your Enthusiasm, no problem there. Game of Thrones, a little bit of trouble. Not as much trouble as they have in that final season with the script, but still, they were able to get past the Flintstones, 54-45 there. But, of course, all this goes right in the old toilet bowl because number 1 seed, Hawaii 5-0, got knocked off by The Office. So it's just, it's a disgrace. Yeah. I don't know what other word to use. It's a disgrace. And it's not even like it had a low vote total. We had almost 600 votes, which is a pretty good total for us. So very disappointing that Hawaii 5-0, again, listening to those two theme songs that, you know, almost 2/3 of people went with the piano over an orchestra with the horns, with the whole the drum section, everything.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Terrible. I don't know if we'll ever recover. I think the whole thing, we should just throw it right in the garbage. You know, like when you have the bracket and your team, you know, you have going to the final game,
yep,
getting knocked out, and you just tear it up and throw it out.
Yep.
Kind of feels like what we should do now, but we're not going to. We're gonna carry on, Larry, against maybe our better judgment. We'll carry on. So let's go back to the 70s. The 70s is still a region that is held up pretty well. So tonight we are down to the regional semifinals. 4 TV shows left in the 1970s, and they are advancing to what will be the regional finals. So let's get back to it, the 1970s. In case you forgot, the number 1 seed there, still very much alive, has been a real strong power. The number 1 seed in the 1970s is...
Well, we're moving on now.
Can't be depressed listening to that.
No.
And we'll see if the Jeffersons get any competition, because this is a number four seed that has been strong so far. The number four seed in the 1970s is... of course, Three's Company. So that's a good matchup there. One versus four. And this bracket has gone all chalk. People in the people that are voting on the 1970s know what they're doing, because these four top four seeds have all advanced. So the other regional semifinal is the number two seed, which is... Here's the story of a lovely lady. All right, so there's the Brady Bunch, and they'll be going up against the number three seed, which is... Sunday, Monday, happy days. So there you go. Those are your only two votes tonight. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty now, so we'll see who advances out of the 1970s. It's the Jeffersons versus Three Company, and, of course, Brady Bunch versus Happy Days. Voting is now open on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. Larry has already retweeted it at Hardesty ESPN. The station account will retweet it as well. So go vote early, go vote often, and get it right. I've given the 1970s people the compliments. Don't disappoint us.
I miss the early days, Gordon, when we were playing 16 themes.
Yes.
Night.
Yeah. It's a fun. You know, the reveal is the most fun, right?
Because, it is,
you
know, yes.
It's a big secret thing that we keep from you, you know, to kind of show off and then have everybody yell at how we're all idiots and stupid and we got it all wrong. So that's the fun part. So now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. It's all in the hands of the people.
Wow.
And sometimes the people screw it up.
Yeah. Like last night.
Right. Like look, and you know, on the show last night, poor Jake the Snake is getting the blame. And it wasn't even his goons that were the ones that were inflating the vote total for the office. Now, I'm sure later on he did retweet it, and that didn't help, because his crowd, his age group, they're all, you know, the big office fans. But it's funny because apparently Jake got a call from Brian telling him that I was the one crushing him. When Jake went back and listened, it was actually Brian who was the one who was throwing Jake under the bus far before me.
Exactly. I think Brian forgot that we're a radio station and you
can
always go back to the audio. And
yeah,
I was listening.
Yeah,
all right, Brian. And I'm listening, and Brian said that Gordon threw me under the bus, and I listened to the audio, and he threw me under the bus. He was blaming me.
I might have kicked you while you were already under
there. You were kicking me while I was down, but I listened, and I didn't even retweet, because I was out of, like, I was driving home after I worked the Islander game. I wasn't on the show with you guys last night, and you guys are blaming me for the office beating Hawaii 5-0.
Well,
and
we
I have
to point the finger at somebody.
That is true. And I have Twitter proof that I voted for Hawaii 5-0. So even though I am the younger audience, and a lot of my goons, quote-unquote, would probably vote for the office,
what if
I myself voted for Hawaii 5-0.
What if Jake's goons voted already and followed Gordon? That could have happened.
Well,
you know?
Look, sometimes you have such a powerful leader that he doesn't even need to say a word. And the group, the crowd, they know what he wants done even without him having to say it. This way he keeps plausible deniability. So that
and
might be the
case.
And
maybe I was upset because, you know, Jake always tells me, like, The Office is the best show on television. And I completely disagree on that.
Right.
So I was like, you know, let me just rile them up. Let me just stir the pot a little bit, because
he loves The Office. Those who in glass houses cannot throw stones. If we unveiled some of the shows that Brian was wanting to be suggested for the,
look,
you know, Bruce would be blaming that until the day
the
I
The George
die.
Lopez show, and I'm pretty sure Buddha or someone else would agree with me. Add Pokemon. Would have made it to the final eight.
Brian's mad that That's So Raven isn't on the tournament.
That's So Raven.
That's So Raven was another one he
song.
Suggested. Right. Yeah. That's not going to be. That's the NIT version of this tournament. That'll be in the NIT. We'll do that
there's
one later
some,
on.
There's some picks that you had, Gordon, that I was like, really? I don't think nobody has heard of these shows.
Well, look, at the end of the day, there is something that has to be taken into account of winnability, right? Like, you want something that's going to get some votes and that people know, but you do have to look at the iconic nature of some of these, and you just cannot exclude them if you want it to hold any weight whatsoever. So, like, Hawaii 5-0, I know it hasn't been on the, or maybe there's a remake or whatnot. It's not a current show. But if you're holding a tournament about great theme songs and you're not including Hawaii 5-0, you're out of your mind. Now, people will think that whatever their favorite one is has to be included as well. I think it's pretty clear with the inclusion of Rawhide, there's some that just won't be able to compete nowadays. But, you know, you have to keep winnability somewhere in there, but you also have to keep, you know, the iconic nature of some of these shows and factor that in. And that's so Raven, or she's so Raven, or whatever is so Raven. That's not going to. That's not going to. It's not going to win it over. I'm sorry.
But Gordon, I understand what you're saying. You know, Jake the Snake. They understand. They have to vote whatever, because if not, there's a penalty to pay.
Oh, of
course. Even if he doesn't have to say anything, they understand.
Right.
They know.
Right.
They
know. And the fact that Jake actually screenshotted proof of him voting tells you he feels guilty inside, mm-hmm. that his office goons are the ones who are ruining the entire tournament.
Yes. He knows.
Yeah,
he
understands. He knows deep down. Even if it's subconscious, it might be, you know, at a deeper level.
You guys know me on Twitter. If I don't tweet anything about the Yankees, then no one cares. So you guys can blame me for the office upsetting Hawaii.
No, it's not all your fault.
We're not blaming you.
It's people like you, is what we're saying.
Wow. Jeez.
So amazing, great, good-looking young men is what
you're
saying.
Yes, that's what we're saying. You nailed it. You nailed it, buddy.
No, we're talking about you, Jake.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. I'm just enjoying you, Gordon. I don't want to talk.
Look, it's the last time we're going to hear for a while.
Hardesty and Damon until midnight. Then there's Freddie Fitzsimmons here on 98.7 ESPN. 1-800-919-3776. Before we get back to the phones, let's clip a couple of things, Gordon. Okay. John Heyman on Twitter says, Mets' $325 million 10-year offer to Lindor contains no deferrals, meaning it's actually worth more in terms of net present value than Betts' 365 over 12, which is heavily deferred, about $120 million. Mm-hmm. In the Dodgers deal, Lindor said to still be seeking $385 million with no deferrals.
Oh my God. That's wonderful. I still want $385.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care what you say. $385. Yep. Clean and clear.
Look, I don't want to hear any revisionist history. He made it clear in his Cleveland days he was taking every single penny. And generally, you know, when you don't have a dog in the fight, it seems like fans have come to the realization to a certain degree of, hey, look, this is this guy's prime earning years. Do what you got to do. Get every dollar, especially with, you know, other sports like football where every play could be your last play. But it seems like the Met fans are not taking that approach, at least the ones that I have seen so far. They are, and I think that there is at least the possibility for if this goes into opening day, that things could, at least the potential for things to get ugly for Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Also, Buddha tweeted, sorry, call drop, really wanted to request a movie soundtrack bracket, Gordon. And my number one superbly classic song, all sung by the late, great Curtis Mayfield, including Little Child Running Wild. Amazing music. And last one before we get to the phones, at Carl Simcoe says, Steve Cohen should pull the Mets offer off the table and say, we're done, see you at the end of the year. Mets have many avenues to their next shortstop. Where's the guarantee? Lindor gets another $325 million offer. Mets could sign two players at the end of the year for that. Like Conforto and Syndergaard.
Well, look, I mean, he's worth, what, $14 billion? He can sign all of them.
He could. And get a tax write-off.
Yeah, I mean, he can sign whoever he wants.
That's right. He can.
And I thought that they had made their choice of which was the number one shortstop they wanted because they went out and got Francisco Lindor. That was their big move this offseason.
That's right. So, you know, listen. We'll see how it turns out. It's interesting.
It doesn't seem like Francisco Lindor is all that concerned about where the money is coming from. He just cares about it. Yeah, right. He wants every last dollar.
Show me the money. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. Show me the money. Let's go to Robbie in Massachusetts. Hey, Robbie, you're next on 98.7.
Yahoo, what a rinky dinky do to you? How you guys doing? I heard you said sing Hong Kong Fooey. That's hilarious.
Pretty
anyway,
good, Robbie.
How's it going, guys?
Okay.
So I wanted three things about the Rangers. Great comeback. It's finally fine that they finally came back to win a game this season. David Quinn, please play Igor Shesterkin in both games in Buffalo. Need to ride this kid. This is a special kid, and you got to keep playing him. And secondly, question for you. Why couldn't the Knicks get Drummond? And three, and overall, Francisco Lindor, okay, can take his $385 million and stick it, okay? Because in a society now where people are barely putting food on the table, this guy has the audacity to keep asking for more money and more money and more money. You know what? How much damn money do you need to live in society, to buy a house, to take a vacation? Enough is enough with these guys. I mean, take your $300 million already. How much money do you need, guys, honestly?
Did you ask that of the owner? The owner has a lot more of it.
I understand that, but when is enough enough? I mean, just because Steve Cohen's a billionaire, what does that give him the right to have to shell out every dollar that he wants to shell out? I mean,
well, it's a negotiation. He can say no.
To play a kid's game.
It's a kid's game that's making a lot of money, right? It makes, what, $8 billion a year or $7 billion a year? Look, I understand what you're saying.
I know, it's crazy. It's an entertainment thing. But,
you know, it's a negotiation.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I can understand that point, right? I mean, a lot of
people
have tough times.
Thanks for the phone call.
I hear it.
Yeah, it's and listen, you know, and these times are hard, Gordon. We understand that, but once
again, I don't understand why you're okay with him getting 325, but when he asked for 385, wow, this is, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's interesting, but you know, listen, it's not their fault. You know, if you want to blame somebody, you know, blame Tatis Jr. for signing what he signed, because every time somebody signs, Gordon, the market changes.
Right. Yeah.
Every time, that's what set the players set the market. All right, so once the players set the market. So, listen, you know why Alonso's like paying $400 million? Because when his time is up, if he
Absolutely.
Has a year like he did in the
right.
rookie year,
you
he's going to want around that.
You know, that ever comes out and says, nah, don't hold off on signing this guy. Wait until he proves it here in New York.
That's right.
Come on.
No, don't pay him. Pay me.
Right.
Let him wait.
He's got a few years.
Exactly. Charlie's in Woodside. Hey, Charlie, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Charlie.
So I got two quick – I'll make it two. First on, Larry, I'll say, you know what my stance on the Giants.
You love the general manager. You love him.
I don't have I cannot describe, like, some of the hates. Words I could use to describe. He doesn't describe that. I can't stand him. You signed two essentially clowns who was injury riddle nonsense. Giving out $72 million, that is overpay.
But Charlie, they may be clowns, but they're better than what you had.
Guess what, Larry? Yeah, the Giants will not disappoint me. Meaning. They say they're going to like finish first and whatnot. I think they finish in third place.
And I was impressed that he found that money when he didn't have any to pay those players. I was impressed.
Well, my stance stands still.
Okay,
so,
I got
on
you.
On that regard.
I got you.
But on the Yankees.
Yes.
Especially on the subtopic that kind of came up on the K-Show, that is one and only Gary Sanchez. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Larry Gordon, he doesn't have a lot of time. Meaning he needs to get off to at least not a terrible start, but a nice start. A solid start, I guess, because I don't get him 2 months. If he stinks like what he stunk up the joint last year like that, striking out half of the at-bats time, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put him ultimatum on. That means can him, definitely. And really, he's on a microscope because if he doesn't get it done, I don't care if that 10,000 people is going to sound like 5,000 people. And Yankee fans will not let you hide. They will not let you hide.
Well, I'll say this, Charlie, and thanks for the phone call. It's always good hearing from you. Promo code Gordon. You can't can him, and you can't trade him because if he's bad, nobody's going to want him.
Right. I mean,
oh, what are you going to do with him?
You've kind of made your decision for this year on him. You could have gone out and figured out another way to go, but you decided to go with Gary Sanchez. I don't know that he's necessarily – in his career, he's not been a great April hitter to begin with. His March-April splits in his career, .207 batting average, on base of .276, a slugging of .531. You know what?
You'll take it
for that.
You'll take it right now.
Slugging a .531. Yeah, I would take it. I would take it. You know, generally when his numbers, go down, they go down in a hurry, right? Like he gets into slumps where he just can't find it. So it's not really a surprise. This is a big year for him. And if he wants to have a next year with the Yankees, he has to have a far better year this year.
Gordon, it just seems like he has no clue what the strike zone looks like, especially his strike zone. He has no clue. He swings at everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yep. No.
And
no
late on the fastball. And late on the fastball, Gordon. Gordon, you can't stay in the major leagues if you can't hit the fastball. Right.
No, if you can't hit a fastball, you're not going to stay in the major leagues. And look, I heard a little bit of the conversation the guys were having today. If he can be a slightly above average player. What's a slightly above average player of an offense? Well, that's why I love OPS plus. Mm-hmm. OPS plus is a range of 100. Anything above 100 is at 100 is league average. Anything above that, if he can get to be, 110 to 120, somewhere in that range, I would sign for that right now. I don't have high hopes for that, but that's what I would sign for.
Yeah, because at least there's some production.
Yeah.
As opposed to nothing is what you've gotten from him. And what happens, and here's the other byproduct of it, Gordon, when he's not hitting, he takes that behind the plate defensively. And now you add to the fact of a guy who's working, and listen, his defense has improved. Okay, give him credit. He's worked hard. His defense has improved. But then he loses concentration because he's so focused on the last at bat that he takes that behind the plate. And that's one thing you can't have because now you're killing yourself offensively and defensively.
Yeah. And look, when Brian Cashman decided to bring in Aaron Boone and they hired Aaron Boone, I think other people thought this, that it was going to unlock Gary Sanchez's potential. That has certainly not been the case.
No.
They've done fine in the regular season. They've come up close in the postseason, but in terms of Gary Sanchez, it's now been 3 years, two of which have been just outright abysmal. The 2019 at least was passable. Mm-hmm. If you could get back to that even, I think you would live with it. It's not great, but you would live with it, as a catcher. But
I agree.
I don't have high hopes.
Well, hopefully it changes, Gordon. Hopefully it changes for you.
This is ESPN New York Tonight.